Hi, and welcome to another episode of Celebrating Small Family Businesses. This is John and Connie Cooter. And today we have with us Bill and Derek in the foreground and Bill Jerome. And they are with Honey Badger's Bee Farm. And they have a fascinating story and a fascinating line of products that I've never seen before. So we are excited to be here. Hi, Derek. Hi, Bill.
Definitely.
Welcome to the party.
Hi, I'm Derek. I'm Derek Jerome, and this is my father right here next to me. It is a family business. My brother couldn't make it today. He's under the weather. He's the third badger.
The third badger. All right.
Love the name of your business. That is fabulous.
So how did your business get started? what got you into
it? My dad thought I was crazy, but I have real bad allergies in the spring and fall. And I would track down the local redneck at the flea market that had three teeth and suspenders and look for the authentic honey with the guy. And I would find him and I would go and get the comb honey that was in the big mason jar. And I was like, I know this guy went out in his backyard or up a tree to get this. And I would use the honey and I would eat the honeycomb. And in the spring and the fall, my allergies would stop. And I was like, this is fantastic. This works great. Because I would get to the point I'd have to take so many pills, or I would take Benadryl and start chewing them up like Flintstone vitamins and become narcoleptic as I was trying to walk. So I was like, I got to get honey. So I started taking it and I went to go find the guy and he was pulling. I was like, man, how am I going to get honey? So I went to the local Trader Joe's. I went to all the health food stores. I was like, I want real honey. And as I read on the different jars, I found out, well, this is from Argentina, this is from Pakistan, or this is from another state, or God knows what it is. And I would try to take some of it and it wouldn't work for me. So I came up with the idea and I come home one day and I told my wife, I said, I've been YouTubing and I've been studying getting bees. I want to get bees. And she told me I was crazy that we lived in the city and I was not going to get bees. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the local meetings with the Bee Club. Meet with some other people that do bees. And I said, I'm going to learn about it and I'm going to get bees. I'm bringing home. No, you're crazy. Well, I went and got two hives and I brought them home and put them right in the backyard. And this is at this time we lived in the city. So you walked out our back door and there was two full size hives sitting right outside our back door. And that pretty much started everything. We're over 200 hives now that we currently manage. Wow. But those first two hives that I got started it in the city in the backyard. So that basically, and that was my medicine, was to go out there and get that. And I was like, this is fun. I got a bunch of extra honey. What am I going to do with it? I'm like, I'll sell it to the guys at work. This is pretty cool. And we started bottling it and I started selling it. I started rescuing bees. My brother and I started, he has a pest control company, and we started going out and taking them out of faces office, out of houses, water meters, and that continued to bring more and more bees. So every time we had a rescue, then we got another hive. And as we were doing this and started selling honey, my dad, he goes, that looks fun. Let me join you guys. Do we want to start a little business? I'm like, okay. So Pop jumped in and he has a huge culinary background. Dad and I used to have a restaurant years ago. We shut down back in 2010, but we had a barbecue restaurant for 10 years. And we started playing around with the honey, going to flea markets, selling it. And we were like, well, raw honey's all right, but it just doesn't have a big appeal. I'll see it once a year, every 6 months. And it was like, we got to do something else. So we came up with five pepper smoked honey. And we tried it at a flea market. And people went, oh my God, this, we've never seen anything like this before. And that was pretty much our eureka moment. And we went, I think we're onto something, Dad. I said, let's figure out what else we can do. And the next one he came up with was smoked garlic. And we took that out there. People absolutely loved it. They fell in love with it. They went, smoked honey, garlic, this is awesome. I said, yeah, it's all local farms around here where we live in Brooksville. I said, we just get the ingredients and smoke it up and throw it right in honey. Oh, this is neat. And I'm like, okay, I think we're onto something, Dad. So we just kind of puttered around doing different small trade events. And under that guys, as a beekeeper, you're in the cottage wall. So you can basically sell honey you can kind of manipulate it a little bit and work with it. And as we continued to progress and grow, we got to the point that we made too much money to have it as a hobby or as cottage law, and we had to go commercial. So we actually went with the USDA and Department of Ag and became bottling manufacturers and got certified. And then we continue to take the brand and line and go with it. So it's been a crazy ride, and it seems like every couple months something else pops out. We get going even more.
Yeah, well, originally we were known as Hobbit Hunting, but because when we become a little bit popular and people started seeing us on Facebook and everything else, the people from what's the name of the company?
Middle Earth
Industries. They contacted us and said, we own the word Hobbit. Take it down or we'll fine you $15,000 a day. So we took it down and we came up with Honey Badgers. And it's basically Honey Badgers Don't Give a Care.
I remember that little YouTube video that was going around like a meme. Honey Badgers are mad at me.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Oh my goodness.
It's a bit of a nickname for me because I'm small and furry and ferocious. So a lot of the boys at work, that's what they said. And when I was changing the name, it's a bit of a nickname. They go, well, you're like a little, you're mean and mean, like a little honey badger. You want to scratch and bite. And I'm like, oh, well, that worked for me.
I love it.
Better name anyway.
I'm really curious about the smoking. Did that come from the barbecue restaurant or what? I mean, where did that idea come from? I've never heard of smoking, mixing smoke and honey.
It was one of those kind of ideas. I've made a pepper sauce from scratch that I actually made for the restaurant, and it was wildly popular. We also made hot sauce that we sold over the counter. And I like to smoke meat, obviously, doing the barbecue, but I put those together and I went, you know what? I bet if I smoke the peppers and then infuse them into the honey, then I'm going to come up with a better product. And we tested it and we went, oh my God, oh, okay, this is good. And that's pretty much the eureka, is that we've been working making sauce, like barbecue sauce, for years, but we never thought when we had the restaurant to really use natural ingredients instead of using, the fake honeys and stuff that you get in high fructose corn syrup to make barbecue sauce at the restaurant. We went, oh wow, now we have a natural product, let's infuse it. And then now when we give it to somebody and we say, okay, we're selling you this, not only is it good forever, but everything in it you can pronounce. You don't need YouTube or Google search to figure out what's in it, and it lasts forever. And then it's one of those miracle things. And we said, you get a lot of people, you see some of the other companies out there, and they make it all pure where it looks absolutely pretty. Well, we leave the peppers and everything in it. We want you to get all the good stuff, because that's obviously where all the vitamin C, that's where all the other good parts of the pepper is actually in the flesh. So we leave the pepper seeds and the flesh all in it. So you're getting absolutely everything with it. And we've taken that kind of leave everything in the bottle, leave it all natural, from the garlic and the smoke all the way to now what we're producing is tea. And we didn't even think that was going to be that popular. And that was more of an accident than anything.
Yeah. but that was, it was a nice act.
You went to the World Tea Expo and came in second in the world or something?
Yeah, we took, that was last March. All three of us flew out to Vegas. We were invited as to come out and show our wares and have a small area in a brand new undiscovered section. So we got invited to that. But part of that, every year they do a Defshan tea, which is one of the founders' tea that brought it to America. They do tea tycoons, and it's everybody in the world can enter this contest every year. And I put us in, and I said, okay, we'll put in for what we do with the tea. And we were coming up with a new invention. This is our badger spoon that holds the exact amount of tea for our honey tea and makes it single serving. And we're like, we'll put it in and see what happens. And I kept getting calls every few months that like, okay, you're in the last 10,000. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. That was like, we're coming to display our stuff in Vegas. We're going to come. Anyway, I said, you know, because you could give me false hope with winning the tea tycoons. I said, it's fine. And as we progressively got closer, she called me up a couple of weeks before we flew out. She says, "You're in the final." And I went, "What?" She says, "Yeah, it's you and it's going to be six of you on stage." And I go, "Okay." I said, "That sounds great." She says, "Well, you guys are going to battle it on the stage and you're going to talk about your business." She says, "Do you have any problems talking?" I go, "No, you'll probably have to tell me to shut up or throw something at me." I said, "But I have no problems talking." I said, "I'll be more than happy to talk about what we did and how we developed it." So we ended up going up head-to-head with Australia that made a tea-based wine without alcohol for like Zima for tea. I don't know. And they took first and we took second. Whoa. So we were in a few of the bigger publications, Tea Time Magazine, some of the ones with Dad and I don't really understand. It's got the little doilies, little crumpet cakes, and the old ladies with the hat. It was like, we were in some of those, and they asked us, you know, "Hey, we're farm." I said, "We're honey badgers. We're not, I don't know what the doily and little cakes are for, but our tea is really good."
That's fascinating. You talk about the doilies and all that. Like, I'm thinking about the English high tea, and mm-hmm. There's such a kind of a ritual around that. And the English are very particular about their tea. I'd be very curious to see how your tea honey mixture is received by the Brits. That's fun. Wow. Yeah. What a great story.
So tell us about working together. What is it that makes it so much fun? Because obviously you guys are successful with this.
Partly is I'm a retired chef. So and Derek and Andy both have culinary backgrounds. So it's kind of like you throw out an idea and it bounces around. You've got three different opinions, and sometimes we all settle on the same opinion. Sometimes we don't, but then we try something. We just see where it goes.
And it depends on the taste buds. My brother's taste buds are kind of like Helen. We call him the Helen Keller of taste buds sometimes. But he also provides that valuable feedback. But we razz him up. We go like, "What does this taste like?" And he's like, "Oh, we're like, no, 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 no." That's not it. So, but we have this great relationship. We're coming up with ideas, and we just grand slammed them, and some of them come from little things. The whole idea with the tea, I think, is we both get aggravated, well, to a certain extent, sometimes at the shows, doing trade shows, that people ask us for a half hour what kind of tea or what kind of honey to put in their tea and how much they love this kind of tea and that kind of tea. And we'll take it to the point where we know what your palate is and we know what honey will kind of work with it. And then they just go, "Well, I'm just going to take this weird honey here and throw it all on the tea." And we're like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh, okay." And look, when I come back to you one day, I said, "You know what? We were watching Karate Kid," I think is how it started. I was watching Karate Kid with one of my daughters, and I'm watching the tea ceremony, and you're watching the old little hook and I put it in, and I seen that, and I went, "That's green tea, and it's a powder. He's putting it in water." And I'm like, "That's an idea." So I actually got real green tea and the matcha. And I said, "Well, if you could do it with water, why couldn't you infuse it with honey? And then you could take it out of the honey in a spoon and put it back in the water. And now it's sweetened and ready to go." And the rest is history. That was our first one, was matcha. And we put it out there on the market, and people went, "Oh my God, this is awesome." All one product.
And you don't, I'm not as familiar with tea as I am with coffee, but you know, once you grind coffee beans, you know, the oils, the flavors start to degrade. And that's why the canned stuff just doesn't taste as good as fresh ground. With tea, when you infuse put the tea into the honey, you don't get any kind of chemical reaction that changes the flavor of the tea?
Nope. And no, actually, the flavor stays right along with the honey in the tea, because you're actually consuming the tea leaf right along with the honey. So you're getting all the free radicals and all of that with the tea.
Yeah, we don't just brew the tea and put it in the honey. We take, just like a matcha, we take it all and it all goes in. So it's, you're drinking the leaf, and our coffee variety, you're actually drinking the coffee bean.
too, which is actually wonderfully good for you. And if you think about it, we throw the good part, you're drinking tea bath water 90% of the time, and you're taking all the leaves and you're chucking them in the trash can, where that's a beneficial part of the tea. And a lot of the older teas and stuff, depending on where you get it from, God knows how old that little tea bag is. Part of the being there and winning that contest with the connections we made. So I actually got to meet with the people that make the tea and their origin countries. So these guys were from Nepal. They were from Southeast Asia. They were from all around the world, and they were the actual farmers and family businesses. So we got boozy kind of with our tea. So the black tea comes from Nepal. The butterfly pea flower comes from Southeast Asia. I actually got to meet and connect with other businesses that are farms that make these products. And we got to make our stuff just that much better. And that is really what pushes us on. And we didn't think that tea would be that big of a deal. And we're like, wow, tea's all right. We make honey, our pepper stuff is cool. And, you know, we're making flavored honey. This is cool. And it's like, okay, well, tea's a big thing. Okay, this is a big deal. And they really like it. So we have that jar all in one. And then we just keep stumbling upon crazy stuff. We're sitting and we're cleaning our machine. And we've had machines specially built and designed for us under my specs and design to be able to do this. And we're cleaning the machine, but to clean the machine out, we've got to put water in the machine. So we have to dump it in, and then it shoots it out and shoots through the machine. And at the end, we have a 2.5 gallon bucket, and it's shooting out green tea. And we're like, man, this kind of looks good. So we tasted it, and I was like, oh my God, this is great. This still tastes delicious. And cool. This is just going out. This is wastewater. So we started bottling 16-ounce teas that are all natural teas that
no preservatives.
They have to be refrigerated at all times, of course, because you don't put anything else in them. But we actually started putting those, and that was kind of something that started just from us cleaning the machine. We said, we got some bottles. Let's bottle this up. We'll give it out, see what people think, kind of gets that mentality from it. And it's got to the point now, I run 14 gallons per batch to make that tea. And I don't do the cleaning anymore, but the cleaning is what started it. But it's now I'm actually have to make batches of tea. And we're running about 100-ish teas a week. In 9 different flavors that are available in about 80 different retailers around our area. So tea is super hot with us. And it's our honey-based tea. Everything's got honey, tea, purified water, and then any kind of, if we put a natural ingredients, it's one of those natural flavor characters. It's really concentrated. That gives it a real good little flavor to it. And that whole idea came from us cleaning the machine, where you're going, man, I don't want to throw all this out. This stuff tastes delicious. And we had a distributor come in. He grabbed it and went, man, this is great. And we're in local mom and pops, and people are grabbing our quick grab and go teas that has that higher quality of tea and honey. And it's an all natural product. Nothing, there's no crazy stabilizers. And they're grabbing it. And it's like, this is fantastic. And it's amazing that we keep stumbling upon some weird ideas that we're bouncing off each other. And he says, let's put it in the bottle, see what works. I'm like, okay, it works. People like it.
That is so core to success is testing things, try new stuff, test and see what works. And you don't have to go all in on something, right? You try something, you can test market it a little bit. I mean,
He's got a lot of people that we can test market with. It's a jail, so that we send it there first of all, and then get feedback, and then we put a lot of samples out in different places, sell food places, and some of the gyms and stuff like that. Got feedback on some of it. Well, this is a little bit too sweet, so we back off on the sweetness of it. The amount of honey that we put into it and that. And then that was our feedback. And it's like, then we got down to where, okay, these are all good. Boom.
Oh, yeah. And it was nothing but buying some bottles. Yep. I'm assigned right now to corrections. I'm dual certified law enforcement and corrections.
Okay, so that's what Bill meant by, I wanted to clarify that. That's what Bill meant by, you know, you've got a lot of people that you can test at the jail.
It's a captive audience.
Not an inmate. No.
Those were other, what we call ourselves, geo guards, or there are other deputy sheriffs that work there at the facility. And it's kind of like that old commercial. If Mikey, see if Mikey will eat it, Mikey will try anything. Well, I'd take it to work, and the boys basically try everything. They humor me, but now they've got to the point that they know whatever I bring is probably going to be really good. So they all run and bug the crap out of me, like, oh, let me try it. I'm going to try it. Oh, what'd you make now? Oh, what is this? And I test it out on them. I said, give me your honest opinion, because I know you will. Unlike, you know, normal people, I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Honey Badger, don't care. Just tell me if it tastes like crap, it tastes for what it needs. And we take it out there and we let everybody have a go at it, especially when we're doing tests. I want other palates and other people testing it just to see what the consensus is on.
Yeah, you get it kind of like with your brother. You get a broad spectrum of palates, because they don't come necessarily from a culinary background where you guys have got a well-trained palate.
Right.
Very cool. So is there a challenge that you've overcome together as family that you think would other family businesses would benefit from hearing about, or a lesson learned?
Well, no, I mean, we have a unique kind of dynamic. We moved from Pinellas back in 2017 out here to the woods, what we call it, on 5 acres. I was going to wait until I retired to move out, but it actually made a family dynamic that my mom and dad are living with me. We're living in one big giant house here on the property, and we're kind of setting up a little farm, and that actually works, and that dynamic works again with my kids. And my wife and I have my mom and dad here that are just downstairs. They live in the downstairs porch.
Cool.
We're a huge three-story. It's almost 5,000 square foot. But when we seen the house originally, I was looking for B land. So it always goes right back to beats. I was looking with a realtor friend. He says, hey, you know, I know you're just looking for land, but I got this really cool spot I want you to go look at. I'm like, listen, I don't retire for a while. I think I'm a little outside of retiring and driving over an hour to be out in the woods. I said, I just need some spots to put bees. Find me something, you know, junky and cheap, you know, where I can drop bees in a good area. He goes, just go look at this house. You have to see it. So I, of course, popped up here and looked at it and went, oh, dad, I said, get mom and come up here. And then I called my wife. I said, you need to come up here and look. And we fell in love with this house, and the rest is history. So we've been here since 2017, and we continue to expand upon what we're doing here at the farm. But it's always challenging with family. We do go back and forth, do a little bit of the OCC chopper stuff every once in a while. We get in that, but that's family. But at the end of the day, even with my brother, you mess up or something happens, and you yell at each other. We're family at the end of the day. It's like, I love you, brother. You know, I love you, dad. We'll see you later. And we continue to charge on, but it's so great to be involved where you do have family and you don't have, I have trust issues, obviously, in my line of work and what I do. And specifically, what I do is supervising the criminals. And I don't trust what people say, what comes out of their mouth. And that's from years of just being in that kind of setting. So it's good to have the family component there where I know that I could trust what they're doing or what they're saying, where I couldn't put my trust into an employee. I would be too skeptical of that person being around and have trust issues until I really knew that person very well. But having the family thing, it's great. Having my dad, I can call him up and say, hey, we got online orders. You better get them out and get them ready. Or I say, hey, I need this labeled. Or he tells me, hey, you need to get out there and make some tea. The distributor was just here. Now you need 9 cases of this, and this. And I'm like, oh God, okay. So, all right, I'm going to go out and get started on that.
So you mentioned a little bit, you alluded to different roles in the business. If you guys, is part of your success having really clearly defined who's doing what, who's in charge of what, and keeping your roles straight and separate?
Yes, I think so. I get pinned with the technology issues and pretty much the computer end of it. And then we kind of just bounce off of everybody takes a role. He predominantly does because he doesn't like the way I put the labels on.
He's not stray.
He does all the labeling.
So you go with your strength.
Oh, I my patience level doesn't go up, and they're a little crooked. I go, oh, they're fine. And he's like, oh, no. So he does all the labeling. So we each take a component of the business. And it's like,
cool.
And the computer stuff comes up like, hey, I need to do this email and send this stuff or set this up. And it's like, get in here. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm the IT guy. All right. The geek. Yeah. A geek squad on call. So I'm there for that. And to get the technology end of the stuff going. And we all kind of break a piece off and it works out great for us. You know, yeah, just having that. And everybody kind of does that little piece of the pie, and we put it together and make it happen. You know, and then being able to talk to each other, not as an employee boss relation dynamic, is a lot easier too, you know, where you have that. We all kind of know what needs to get done, and three of us being the owners, we know what the end product is. You know, our goal is to get the stuff made and done and pop through. You know, it's very trying at times, and as we get going, we've had our little hiccups here and there, and a lot of it's just, you know, how are we getting, each little half wave that gets blocked, like the Hobbit Honey. It was like, oh my God, how are we going to recover from this? We got to change the name. We have to do all that. And they actually, I should send those guys a little thank you, honey. And the amount of stuff that they taught us without knowing that they were teaching us, they taught us about patents. They taught us about trademarks. They taught us about all those bad things that can happen to you. And it made us better. So we went out and patented honey. So all that stuff that you see that we have on our website, those tea emulsions, we actually have a pending patent that basically anything other than wall honey will fall under our patent. So
you can't patent raw honey,
but you can't patent anything you add.
Anything you add to it, you can put a patent on it. So we went crazy, and anything and everything that we could think of, we patent.
So we have THC, CBD, emulsification, and honey. With a single serving delivery device, which is part of our invention, is that spoon that we developed for the U.S. And then all the teas and like the five pepper honey and the garlic honey, all that's patented. And that'll be when that becomes an enforceable part of our patent. It's provisional right now. It usually takes, I think my lawyer said, up to 8 years sometimes to get a patent all the way through. But those valuable lessons that we learned, it was like, I should send these guys a gift basket, because that set us in a trajectory instead of going, you know what, I give up, you know, this isn't for me, or I'm going to not, you know, and go a bit. We went, we're even better. And it rolls right back into the van. It's Honey Badger. We don't care. We don't care.
I'm thinking there's a Honey Badger right there.
And when we
so much better name.
Even when we do it. Yeah, well, we do events and stuff like that. We have once in a while, we have the event coordinator come up to us and say, well, I'm sorry, but I've got two other honey vendors here. And it's like, we don't care.
Oh, well, sorry for that.
I mean, we've been at a lot of different trade shows that we're selling 3-1 of what everybody else is selling in the same building. So and that was one of our things with the going from raw honey to the flavored honey, because if you're only selling raw honey, I see you once every 2 months, maybe to come back and get another jar. But with the flavored honey, that little jar of five peppers will do a set of ribs, it'll do wings or whatever. And the next weekend, you're going to go, I did ribs last weekend, I want to do chicken. Let me go buy another one of those. So I see you maybe three times.
No, I would say think of the five pepper too. We just got invited to Walmart's open call this year, and we have a deal with Walmart for the five pepper specifically. So that will be launching in our geographic area, 25 stores in October. So we're onboarding with them now.
But they're still talking with us about, If they want to do four more, they want to do a group, so
a collection. And I said, I like the sound of that.
And I
like
that.
I went, yeah, well, four more of our line, like some of our teas. They're looking at the blue razz, the garlic smoked, the blackberry mango. And we just invented something yet again. We can't help ourselves. We've invented badger dust, which is an all-purpose seasoning dry roll. It's got honey powder in it. And we're just getting the labeling now, but we've actually sold through about 30. I don't know if we'll show all the camera that well. 30 pounds of it.
Whoa.
That's right. Yeah, it's better.
So we're going to do hot regular.
I think mixing flavors and both the knowledge, but also the experimentation that comes from cooking, I think, you know, that's kind of your secret sauce there. It's amazing. So I got
to. Well, we didn't get these beautiful physiques we have dieting.
So you mentioned the trust issue and, you know, working just with family. So now I'm getting curious about, well, the uniqueness of your products, they're going to spread. There's going to be more demand, and you're going to need to grow. Have you got a plan for growing and taking in? You can't keep growing your family, so how do you grow your business?
Well, the first thing to start out with is we've got a 40 by 70 building that's going up with a 20 by 40 kitchen in it, and the rest is going to be warehouse. That'll be starting here shortly.
We're about to break ground on that. So we actually are trying to plan ahead for that. And a lot of the stuff with to be able to keep up the volume from our perspective, we're going to keep up to a certain extent. And then we're going to look at co-packing. And of course, I'm going to be probably the crazy guy that when I do take it to a co-packing setting that make sure that the standard that I'm setting for it is maintained. But right now we're going from a smaller 10 by 20 kitchen that we have here on the farm to a full size warehouse. So we've actually all put that in place, secured with the Department of Ag to be able to do a farm loan. And that was part of the success with getting that deal with Walmart. Now we haven't got any revenue, but we're revenueing up right now with the farm to get ready for that and the increase in sales in the tea, because we don't have enough storage room for the tea. As we make the tea, I don't have enough room to store it because I have to store it refrigerated. And we're starting to come up to that level where we just don't have the room. It's like, how do we scale? And I do have kids. I have a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. And their prospective boyfriend's son wants to be a son-in-law. I have them guys, they actually pitch in and they help me manufacture and produce here at the farm. So I have a little bit more out to do it. Otherwise, it's on my days off and I work a 12-hour rotating shift. So this weekend, I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then I'm back to work Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, and then I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a flip-flopper. But that being with my job actually allows me to have more time with family and time to get into that. And I'm trying to keep ahead where we can do that. And now the equipment that we've actually invented and I have China designing for me allows me to make this stuff in even bigger batches. So basically I have the infrastructure built now. I make a phone call. I can say, look, instead of a 40 liter, I need an 80 liter machine and I need it heat jacketed. I need it to be able to pump and all the machinery we're using now runs off air pressure. So it actually warms the honey, emulsifies, stirs it up, and then shoots it right into my jars, which is great. And I'm actually manufacturing. We always say, what do we say? We're in the big boy world, but we're not really big boys. And it's the same thing when we stepped into the Walmart arena. It's like, really?
And then stepped into deep into the pool and not knowing how to swim.
And they're like, where you guys come from? What are you doing here? Oh, you're not supposed to be here. And I was like, well, yeah, we know what we're doing. We're good. We got this. Here, try this. Oh my God, that's excellent. Yeah, we can scale that. Well, how do you go to scale it? I said, oh, no, don't worry about that. I'll scale it. And, you know, some of the prohibitive things in the U.S. and what we find in the food industry and, you know, having a restaurant years ago too, is cost prohibitive. And I see it even in the honey industry with beekeeping and bee supplies is you'll go to get a specific equipment or specialized equipment and it's astronomical, the pricing on it in the U.S. I can get on the phone, and they're 12-hour difference than us. I can get on the phone tonight at 8 o'clock at night, say 8 in their morning, and I can get on the computer, and I can message my girl, number one, and she goes, hey, Derek, you're number one. Me love you long time. And I got another machine coming. Not a problem. More than happy to help. And the same machine that I can get that would be built in the U.S. would be $10,000-$15,000. And it would be something that would be modified, and it would probably come from them originally. And somebody in the U.S. would stick a sticker on it and say they did. You know, and that's a huge thing. And we found that our industry, like ball glass, they're not made in the U.S. anymore. And it's very sad that the companies and stuff that were part of the U.S., they're not made. There's a headquarters. They don't make the components. They don't make the glass, and they don't make the lids. So everything is sourced from China. And we had to adapt. Like we were using container companies here in the U.S., and the plastic, the same plastic bottle that I can get here is a little over $1. And a lot of people don't realize that when you're buying commodities and you're buying products, that the cost associated for me to put that honey into a jar is over $1. You know, just to put everything in there, to put my label on there, to put the seal on there, just to get to that point is costing me. And then they don't understand, well, why would you be sourcing overseas or something like that? Because that same bottle, I can go to 30 cents a year, and I can bring in 4,000 of those, and they're more than happy to do anything I need. Now, I have to wait 45 days because of the shipping, you know, coming overseas, but I can land that same product. And then it's upsetting in the U.S. because you go to a company that's called All American Containers or something like that, or U.S. Plastic. But at the end result, I'm talking to the person that's making that, that's shipping it over here in cargo containers to them. They're putting the price up, capitalism at its finest. They're popping the price up to make money off of that. And it's like, it's not manufactured here. They go, oh, no, it's over there. I'm like, so why do I just go to who's making it? And, that's a challenge with the business. And we've found that in that space, with the bees, is to overcome a lot of that cost. And then I can give you a better product at the end without really pushing our cost up there.
And that hurts. Because we haven't changed our prices since we got involved in the commercial end of it, which is 1920. Or 2020, excuse me.
2020.
When we first started out. Just before the COVID. I mean, we were one of the few places that actually done well during the COVID.
COVID actually accelerated us.
Yeah.
So that actually gave us, people really started thinking about farm to table. They started thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. And all the benefits benefits you get from using natural products. And we've continued that, we still have our hiccups here and there, and it's always growing things. And we're always worried about when do we take that next step, or should we take that step, as we bounce in. You have the multi-million-dollar companies that can throw money out, like they're at a strip club. We don't have that luxury. We really have to worry about, where our next, and plan and focus on what we're doing. And so far we've made great choices. We've made a few bad ones here and there.
We've had our fingers crossed a lot of times. It's like, we got payments coming up, and is this going to work out? We just spent what we shouldn't have spent. And it's like, we've been lucky so far. It worked out.
Yeah. We've been real busy here lately, just trying to keep up with the product. And then this is swarm season for us beekeepers. So our phone is literally ringing off the hook with, I got a bee swarm in the tree. I got them in my garbage can. I got them in my water box. I got them all over, it's like, oh, okay. Let me see if I can get out there. And we're going out and still continuing that mission of rescuing the hives and pulling them in. And then we get some commercial contracts where it's in a playhouse. And we had a massive one that we just did here recently. There was three hives and one little playhouse shed that was out, the realtor was selling the house and they needed them all removed. And it was crazy. That took us, what, about 4 or 5 hours to get out. There was a lot of bees.
Yeah, probably about 500,000. Video on your YouTube channel? Or or yeah. your website.
Yeah, we've been that one with the big round comb.
Yeah, the comb was like, it was like almost 3 foot. It was huge. And that was just one piece. There was five of them on each side that they had built out. It was absolutely massive. One of the biggest ones we've seen in a while, especially three codependent hives like that, because it's not one. There's each individual out of queen.
Okay, so I wanted to. This has been fascinating. We need to unfortunately wrap up. But how can people find you? I'm guessing that you ship, nationwide. Is that accurate?
Yes, we're on. We have our own website, honeybadgersbeefarm.com, which is just our name. Super simple. We're obviously on Amazon, eBay, Etsy, Walmart.com, Mammoth Nation, a few others that are on there in between. And not only does that give you an online link in there where you can come directly to our farm link at honeybadgersbeefarm.com, and we ship nationwide, and we actually ship out of the U.S. I do have customers overseas that also buy from us. Pricey, but it does. We do ship. And that's available on our website. And then if you're in our local area, we pretty much have probably 100-mile range around us where we're in stores right now. And then we're hoping to expand. We're always looking for more partners and more people that believe in the mission and what we do, not only, rescuing bees and making cool honey. And then we like to bring your kids out to the farm too, homeschoolers, and allow them to go barehanded and touch the bees. We want to have that connection where your food comes from. And we're actually talking to local farmers here in the area too. As we go around, I get to talk to the local guys that are making blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, and are making the peppers and stuff. They're growing them. Those are the guys. We don't charge our farmers for the pollination service. We usually do a bartering system. We say, hook us up with some peppers. I need some garlic. I need some blueberries, and we make sure we take care of each other. The industry now is hard enough in agriculture. So we try to help everybody out as we go around. It helps our bees out too, because they're out there getting delicious nectar and pollen right off the farm.
Excellent. Wonderful. Okay. So you're in Brooksville, Florida. So if people are in the greater Tampa Bay area or central Florida area, they can find you in Brooksville. And like you said, homeschooling or you've got tours. You've got tours of the apiary. You do some basic beekeeping classes, I think, 101.
Yep.
Beekeeping 101.
Yep. So you want to learn how to beekeep, you can come out. We'll...
Your website is a
plethora. It's a plethora of things.
That was the Geek Squad. That's the Geek Squad. I built the website. So to make it where you can interact with it. And we actually have a store here on the farm too. So during the week, you can come out and actually we have a little shop and you can come in and see everything that we make and it's where it's made. And if you want to see where your honey's actually made, we have hives here on the property. Our breeders are here. You can actually see bees when you come to buy your honey.
I think we need a road trip.
I think we do. Connie's allergic to bees, so we've got a little bit of.
We put you in a suit.
She gets stung. She needs an EpiPen.
Well, we put you in a suit. You're covered up. You got a hat. You got a jacket and everything. Put you in a full suit.
I'm also thinking you guys have got a market for corporate gifts because of the uniqueness of your stuff. People that are in an environment where they've got financial advisors. People that are dealing with high ticket clients and they're spending a lot of money with them or they're managing a lot of
realtor
money.
Gifts.
They send gifts and Connie looked at your site yesterday and I hadn't shown it to her before and she was going crazy last night. Oh my God, we're ordering this. Oh my God, we're getting this. So I think you guys are probably already on top of that.
Yeah, what we had actually hoped about was the fact that the Airbnb, we could attach to them guys for the our spoons, simply because that is a cup of coffee, it is a cup of tea, and all it is a little, it sits on the countertop or hangs on a hook, and it's in the room.
Yeah. We're trying to make that portable, there's everything in business. It's hard to get your foot in the door. And
unless you know somebody,
our foot hurts because And so do your fingers when you're trying to grab the door to keep them from slamming it on you, you know, but, you know, it's keeps trudging along and we keep having doors open for us finally. You know, it's difficult being that small family business, you know, go to a retailer and say, hey, I got a real awesome product there. Yeah, get out of here. I want to hear about that. And then you'll have another one that finds us at a trade show that got a chance to try it and went, that is awesome. I would like that in my store. No brainer, super easy. And we get in. But, you know, that's the best thing you can tell for being a family business and being a business is you're going to get the door slammed on. You're going to catch your fingers on it. You're going to catch your foot in it. You may get your feelings hurt, but that's why honey badgers don't care. But there's always going to be out of those 100 doors that shut, there's going to be that one that pops open. And it may not be the one that we were like, we weren't expecting Walmart to say yes. We went through 4 meetings, and the last meeting, the guy went, and he's digging around in the jar. He goes, I want this. We're not going any further. I'm like, oh God, did we just lose all the deals? And I went, no, I want this in the store. And he said, can you handle 25 stores? I'm like, yeah. And we're trying out the dance. We were on a Zoom talking, and it was like, we're trying out the dance, and I'm hitting him going, he's talking about a deal. And, you know, afterwards we're dancing around in the kitchen. I don't know if those people know that. I mean, that feeling, and when you're doing business with a small business and you have that success, it's like, we're dancing. We're like, whoa, we're valid. We're real beekeepers. We're real honey makers. You know,
and that pretty much justifies everything you're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
We're dancing around like, stop.
Yes, and it is so important to celebrate that success. Well, and that perfect wrap for celebrating small family businesses. We are so happy that we contacted you and that we got to do this. We look forward to celebrating you and helping promote your business and look forward to future conversations. I can see, you know, there's so much we didn't talk about.
Right.
But thank you so much again for joining
us. That's why I said people usually throw things at me. Tell me to stop. We haven't gotten to the bee aspect of it, but we appreciate you having us on. We love that. Really cool. We love doing it, and we go out and we try to talk to people and mentor and help people as much, you know, as much as you can. You got to give back what you put out. You know,
exactly.
Success. Yeah.
Exactly.
People, learn people's definitely.
Well, I hope that all of our present and future listeners will at least visit your website.
Absolutely.
Font of information about bees and beekeeping and honeys and I never thought to think about the flavors that you wouldn't expect to exist. So if you like food and flavors, you got to check it out.
That's right.
That's honeybadgersbeefarm.com.
Yep. Just our name.com. Real short and simple like a honey badger. And
there
we do
go.
TikToks occasionally. Thanks. So you might see us out there dancing or doing something weird or singing.
Fabulous.
Not afraid to dance on TikTok.
Fabulous.
We're not afraid.
Thank you again for being with us and sharing your life with us. And we look forward to having more conversations.
Definitely. We do too. Thanks for having us.
Good.